Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program number 356, titled Mind Jihad, Part 4, The Jihad for Freedom. This is being recorded on April 21st of 2002, and it's continuing discussion of my analysis of the events in and around September 11th. The reference, Jihad for Freedom, is to an illegal domestic intelligence operation conducted in the immediate post-World War II period called the Crusade for Freedom, in which Nazi and fascist elements, including at least one entire SS intelligence unit, were brought into the United States for political purposes. The driving persons behind that institution, the Crusade for Freedom, were Alan Dulles, his protege Richard Nixon. The chief spokesperson for that was Ronald Reagan, and the person who handled the State Department machinations to bring these elements into the United States was William Casey, later the manager of the Reagan-Bush campaign in 1980 and Reagan's director of the CIA. This literal Nazi element that was brought into the United States ultimately evolved into the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization, literally a Nazi branch, a fascist branch of the Republican Party that was viewed as being able to deliver swing votes in five key states in presidential election years. This was formally incorporated into the Republican Party on a permanent basis under the administration of Richard Nixon, when the elder George Bush was head of the Republican National Committee. And there is now very firm evidence that the Islamo-fascist slash Wahhabi elements in this country, many of which have strong connections to the milieu of September 11th and which overlap the Al-Taqwa firm, an institution with strong connections apparently to September 11th and with roots going back to the Third Reich, the Republican Muslim outreach branch of the Republican Party has strong links to Al-Taqwa, and that is the reference to the Jihad for Freedom. Again, the past broadcasts are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. There is virtually the entire For the Record series available for download and or streaming on two websites maintained by sister station WFMU, wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word. And there are links in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com to both WFMU websites. And all of the information on the WFMU sites and the detailed annotated descriptions in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website are available for free. Just email them around, download them as far and wide as possible. Now, continuing with the very important and tortuous link nexus of connections that we were looking at in Side 1. We're taking a look at an article from the Wall Street Journal from Thursday, April 18th of 2002. This article is by Glenn R. Simpson of the Wall Street Journal. It's titled, O'Neill Met Muslim Activists Tied to Charities. And this refers to a series of Islamic charities and front organizations that were not only connected to the highest levels of the Republican Party, but which were targeted in Operation Green Quest, the U.S. Treasury Department operation that busted many of these institutions for apparent links to September 11th and terrorism. Key institutions, the Islamic Institute, co-founded by Grover Norquist, one of the top operatives in the GOP, the SAR Foundation, the Safa Trust, the Amana Trust, and the Heritage Education Trust. These all have overlapping directorates, strong financial overlaps, and one of the key names here is Talat Otman. And another name to remember is Jamal Barzinji. He's the president of the Safa Trust. Now, in the first side of the broadcast, we took a look at this article, and we took a look at the fact that the powerful GOP Muslims connected with some of these institutions had met with Treasury Secretary O'Neill, and Bruce Zagaras, an asset forfeiture lawyer who represents clients in this type of case, said that it was virtually impossible for people under investigation to get a meeting with Treasury officials. And we're going to take a look now at one of the reasons why this may have been possible in this case. Skipping down in the Wall Street Journal article of 4/18/2002, the name here, Talat Otman, O-T-H-M-A-N. two nonprofits affiliated with Yaqub Mirza and named in the search warrant, the SAR Foundation and the Heritage Education Trust Incorporated, held large blocks of shares in Amana's mutual funds in 1997, according to SEC records. The SEC documents and other records detailing connections between Mr. Altman and Mr. Norquist's Islamic Institute and the raided groups were compiled by the National Security News Service, a Washington-based nonprofit research group. Mr. Altman, who parenthetically gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention in the summer of 2000, continuing, Mr. Altman has ties to the Bush family going back to the 1980s when he served with George W. Bush on the board of a Texas petroleum firm, Harkin Oil and Gas Incorporated. Mr. Altman has visited the White House during the administrations of both President Bush and his father, George H.W. Bush. Mr. Altman also is a longtime campaign donor who gave to both parties but tends to favor Republicans, giving more than $10,000 during the past decade to GOP groups and supporting the presidential bids of both Bushes. Mr. Altman also is on the board of Mr. Safouri's Islamic Institute, the GOP-leaning group that received $20,000 from the Safa Trust, one of the raid's targets. The president of the Safa Trust, Jamal Barzinji, is a former business associate of Switzerland-based investor Youssef Nada, whose assets were frozen last fall after the Treasury designated him a person suspected of giving aid to terrorists. A naturalized American, Mr. Barzinji serves as an officer of at least three other Virginia groups listed in the search warrant. Ms. Luke, who represents Mr. Barzinji, denied that he supports terrorists. That's his attorney. By the way, I'm shocked. I'm sure she would have said, of course he supports terrorists. By the way, again, note that in addition to Mr. Barzinji, Mr. Salah is also an associate of Al-Taqwa, and they have these organizations have strong interlocking directorates. Continuing. Mr. Barzinji and his Herndon business partners also are active political givers, donating about $40,000 to federal candidates since 1990. Barzinji also is listed on federal records as a client of the lobbying firm Janus Merit Strategies, LLC, which formerly employed Mr. Norquist, the GOP activist who co-founded the Islamic Institute. By the way, again, Youssef Nada worked for German intelligence in World War II, has Ahmed Huber on his board of directors. Al-Taqwa was alleged in a San Francisco Chronicle article of March 12th of this year to have been founded by François Genoux, one of the most important Third Reich operatives and an obvious operative of the Bormann organization. I would note that the co-chairman of the board of the Saudi investment company, about which we're going to hear more in a minute, Baudin Dunant, was an attorney for François Genoux in the early 1980s. Now, Talat Altman and Harkin Oil. We're going to take a look now at an article from September and October of 1992. This specifically comes from Mother Jones magazine. This article is by Stephen Pizzo, the tri-author of Inside Job, along with Paul Muolo and Mary Fricker, one of the best books about the looting of the savings and loan. This is from the Mother Jones website at www.motherjonesoneword.com. It's called Bush Family Values, subtitled The Bush Clan's Family Business, and it talks about the elder George Bush and the business dealings of his three sons. Talking about Harkin Energy and links to the Nugenhand Bank, that was a U.S. intelligence operation run by Task Force 25 with strong links to the milieu of Edwin Wilson, very many operatives of U.S. intelligence and narcotics trafficking, and the destabilization of the Gough Whitlam Labor Party government in Australia. Talking of Harkin Energy and its antecedents, Harkin Energy was formed in 1973 by two oil men who would benefit from a successful covert effort to destabilize Australia's Labor Party government, which had attempted to shut out foreign oil exploration. A decade later, Harkin was sold to a new investment group headed by New York attorney Alan G. Quasha, Q-U-A-S-H-A, a partner in the firm of Quasha, Wesley & Schneider. Quasha's father, a powerful attorney in the Philippines, had been a staunch supporter of then-President Ferdinand Marcos. William Quasha had also given legal advice to two top officials of the notorious Nugenhand Bank in Australia, a CIA operation. After the sale of Harkin Energy in 1983, Quasha became a director and chairman of the board. Under Quasha, Harkin suddenly absorbed Junior's struggling Spectrum 7 operation in 1986. The merger immediately opened a financial horn of plenty and reversed Junior's fortunes, but like his brother Jeb, Junior seemed unconcerned about the characters who were becoming his benefactors. And skipping down of Talat Altman, talking about a deal in which Harkin Energy basically cornered the offshore drilling rights from off of Bahrain. Through the Bahrain deal, the ties between BCCI and Harkin Energy grew tighter. Sheikh Khalifa, the Prime Minister of Bahrain and brother of the Emir, was also a shareholder in BCCI, and it was Khalifa who played the key role in selecting Harkin for the job. Sheikh Abdullah Bakshish, in turn, was a business associate of BCCI frontman Gait Faron. He bought a chunk of Harkin's stock and placed his representative, Talat Altman, on Harkin's board of directors. Talat Altman, a representative of Gait Faron, one of the top officials with the BCCI strongly linked to Iran-Contra operations, drug trafficking, the financing of terrorism, and also the funding of the Afghan Mujahideen in the anti-Soviet effort of the 1980s. Now, we're going to talk more about BCCI, and bear in mind Talat Altman, who was a representative of the number one man in BCCI, Gait Faron. One of the other top people in BCCI was Khalid bin Mahfouz, represented by James R. Bath, who also represented Salem bin Laden, apparently involved in the October surprise. Now, we're going to introduce one of the major financial entities involved in the Alpaqua BCCI money go-round, so to speak. That is a computerized financial clearinghouse called Clearstream, based in Luxembourg. Following article was posted on the Pacific News Service's website at www.pacificnewsoneword.org. This is by Lucy Komiser, I may be mispronouncing that, capital K-O-M-I-S-A-R, of the Pacific News Service. This was posted on October 4th of 2001. It's headlined, A Book Too Hot for U.S. to Handle? Tracking Terrorist Money, and its Dateline New York reads in part as follows. A controversial European book that might help authorities track terrorist funding sources remains unpublished and relatively unknown in the United States. Entitled Revelations, it exposes a secret banking system that might be used by terrorists. At the center is a clearinghouse in Luxembourg called Clearstream, which transfers money for international banks and major companies. Skipping down. The author of the book, by the way, is Ernest Backes, B-A-C-K-E-S, along with Denise Robert. Skipping down. Speaking of herself, Ms. Komiser writes, this reporter was shown copies of what Backes says are records of the secret accounts. He keeps the originals in caches outside Luxembourg. The documents are a mine of information for any financial inquiry, with detailed information on every cross-border transfer in cash or securities. Some U.S. officials, including New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, may well be aware of the system detailed in the documents. Skipping down. When Mayor Giuliani was an assistant prosecutor in charge of investigating the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI, in the early 1990s, he received documents from Backes according to revelations. Quote, Giuliani and agents of the FBI were delighted with the official documents which Backes sent him, the authors wrote. BCCI was a Pakistani-run bank registered via shell companies in the Cayman Islands that used secret accounts to effect an $8 billion global money laundering fraud. Before it was shut down in 1991, BCCI was used by U.S. and Saudi intelligence to fund the Mujahideen, then fighting the Soviet-supported government of Afghanistan. It was used by many other entities as well. By the way, the U.S. Justice Department official in charge with investigating BCCI was Robert Mueller, now head of the FBI. When he was appointed head of the FBI in the summer of 2001, I speculated in For the Record 310 that the BCCI connections to Arbusto Energy and the Bin Laden family might have been one of the reasons for appointing Robert Mueller. And after the attacks of September 11th, I speculated that Mueller might very well have been an insider, and who has somebody who was put there to see to it that the links did not come out between the Bin Ladens and the Bushes and many, many other institutions. It now turns out that his assistant in the BCCI investigation was none other than Rudolph Giuliani, Rudy the Rock, who's being speculated about as a possible running mate for W in the year 2004. One of the financial institutions used in the BCCI connections, Clearstream. More about Clearstream right now. This is from an article that appeared as a sidebar to an article by the very same Lucy Komeiser. It appeared in These Times issue of March 15th of 2002. You can visit their website at www.inthesetimes.com. In These Times is one word. The article is titled Explosive Revelations by Lucy Komeiser, and in a sidebar sidebar to that article called Banking with Bin Laden, we hear about the following connections between Clearstream and Al-Taqwa and BCCI and SECO. SECO is the European-based firm that runs the Bin Laden operations in Europe. That is headed up by Islam Bin Laden. Bin Laden's half-brother, the head of SECO, is Baudin Dunant. And we're going to hear more about him. Bear in mind that he was the attorney for alleged Al-Taqwa founder François Genoux in a 1983 case. Banking with Bin Laden by Lucy Komeiser. Pay close attention here to the Clearstream connection once again. Following the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the United States started focusing its investigation on the financial trail of Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda network. Like any other large global operation, international terrorists need to move large sums of money across borders clandestinely. In November, U.S. authorities named some banks that had bin Laden accounts and it put them on a blacklist. One was al-Taqwa, Fear of God, registered in the Bahamas with offices in Lugano, Switzerland. By the way, I would add Lugano, Switzerland is also the headquarters of Heinrich Thyssen-Bornemisza, one of the key elements of the Bormann organization, about which I've spoken so many times. Bear in mind that Al-Taqwa has a number of overlapping directors or interlocking directorate with many of the institutions connected to Talat Otman, Grover Norquist, and the Republican Party. Turning once again to Banking with Bin Laden. One was Al-Taqwa, Fear of God, registered in the Bahamas with offices in Lugano, Switzerland. Al-Taqwa had access to the Clearstream system through its correspondent account with the Banca del Gotardo in Lugano, which had a published Clearstream account, number 74381. By the way, remember the Banco del Gotardo overlapping Al-Taqwa and using Clearstream? Coming back to that later, too. But Bin Laden may have had access to the unpublished system in what he calls a spectacular discovery, unquote. Ernest Baquez reports that in the weeks before CEO Andre Lussi, L-U-S-S-I, was forced to leave Clearstream last May, that would have been May of 2001, a series of 16 unpublished accounts were opened under the name of the Saudi Investment Company, or SECO, the Geneva holding firm for the Saudi bin Laden group, which is run by Osama's brother, Islam bin Laden. Some family members spell the name differently. Islam bin Laden insists that he has nothing to do with his brother, but evidence suggests SECO is tied into Osama's financial network. SECO is associated with Dar al-Mal al-Islami, DMI, an Islamic financial institution also based in Geneva, and presided over by Prince Mohammed al-Faisal al-Saud, a cousin of Saudi King Fahd that directs millions a year to fundamentalist movements. DMI holds a share of the Al-Shamal Islamic Bank of Sudan, which was set up in 1991, and partly financed by $50 million from Osama bin Laden. Furthermore, one of SECO's administrators, Geneva attorney Baudin Dunant, is a partner in a law firm, Magnin Dunant and Partners, that set up the Swiss financial services company SBAN, a subsidiary of the SBA Bank in Paris, which is controlled by Khalid bin Mahfouz. Mahfouz's younger sister is married to Osama bin Laden. Khalid bin Mahfouz is also very close to George Bush, one of the other directors of Harkin Energy, and represented by the same James R. Bath, who represented Salem bin Laden and helped to finance Junior's, or W's, first oil company. Now, note there the profound connections between Clearstream, Alpaqua, SECO, Baudin Dunant, and a Genou attorney, and there is more. Who do you think owns Clearstream? There have been a number of articles about who owned it at 50% of it and who owns all of it now. We're going to turn now to the online publication The Deal. This is from TheDeal.com. There are many, many financial publications that talk about this. This is from the website TDNYCPRODWWW01. Anyway, this is from TheDeal.com. This is by Jonathan Braude, Braude. This was posted on February 1st of 2002, and this is titled, Deutsche Börse Buys Clearstream. Amid a scramble by European stock exchanges to forge alliances, Deutsche Börse Aktiengesellschaft agreed Friday to gain full control of a major European clearing and settlement house, Clearstream International. Skipping down. Terms, under negotiation for several months, call for the Frankfurt Exchange to pay $1.6 billion for the 50% of Clearstream it does not already own. By the way, Clearstream revealed in the book Revelations by Ernest Bacchus, published in 2001, to be a major conduit for shady dealings. It now turns out that 50% of Clearstream was owned by the Deutsche Börse, who have now bought all of it as of February of 2002. The Deutsche Börse, in turn, is controlled primarily by three large German banks, Deutsche Bank, Dresdner Bank, and Commerzbank, three of Germany's largest commercial banks, which represent, between the three of them, one of the primary elements of the above-board Bormann finance. By the way, the biggest customer of Clearstream is UBS Aktiengesellschaft. That's a Union Bank of Switzerland, which helped to finance the World Trade Center's lease, and which then is now involved in numerous controversies in that regard. UBS bought Enron, UBS a key Bormann bank, and also UBS one of the financiers of Harkin Energy, featuring Khaled bin Mahfouz, Talat Atman, and last but certainly not least, George W. Bush. Now, what we're going to do next is to take a look at the Banco del Gotardo, that's the Bank of the Goat Herds in English, and we're going to take a look at overlaps between Clearstream, Banco del Gotardo, and Alpaqua. And furthermore, we're going to take a look at links between Banco del Gotardo and a former Soviet, later Russian, biological warfare activity, I should say. And we're going to take a look at links between the Kosovo Liberation Army, Islamic extremism, and Alpaqua, and Banco del Gotardo. This article is also by Lucy Komarser. This is from the Earth Times News Service at www.earthtimes.org. This is titled, Swiss Bank Handled Sale from Russian Bioweapons Company. Bear in mind as you listen to this that in the book Serpent's Walk, which I have described as the Turner Diaries of the Bormann Organization, at the end of World War II, the Third Reich goes underground, builds up its economic muscle, infiltrates the U.S. intelligence community and military, and buys into the opinion-forming media, and after an attack on the United States with genetically engineered microorganisms of ostensibly Russian origin, martial law is declared, and the underground Reich takes over the United States. This takes place in the mid-21st century. Once again, Lucy Komeiser, Earth Times News Service. This is titled, Swiss Bank Handled Sale from Russian Bioweapons Company. This is from 2001, specifically November of 2001, by Lucy Komeiser. It reads in part as follows, Dateline Geneva. Geneva. As the U.S. searches for the culprits who let loose an anthrax attack on America and for the money trail of Islamic terrorists believed to have plotted the attack on the World Trade Center, key questions are, how does the illicit trade in biological weapons operate and how is terrorist money moved? For answers to both these questions, the U.S. ought to zero in on a Swiss bank that handled a sale from a known Russian biological weapons producer, Biopreparat, to a company, Interplastica, with links to Islamic militants. Beginning in 1973, Biopreparat produced and stockpiled hundreds of tons of anthrax and dozens of tons of plague and smallpox. Documents obtained in Switzerland by this reporter show that the Banco del Gattardo in Lugano had been tightly involved in deals between Russian weapons firms and Interplastica, a company which beginning in the 1960s, specialized in trade with the countries of the East Bloc to pierce Western embargoes. Interplastica is registered in Morbio Inferiore near Lugano in the canton of Tessin in southern Switzerland. And after discussing the links between Biopreparat and Interplastica and Banco del Gattardo, Lucy Komeiser then writes of the man who basically was involved with Interplastica and who was involved with a alleged Russian organized crime bribery scheme. That fellow's named Begijet Pakoli. The man who paid the bribes, Begijet, B-E-G-H-J-E-T, Pakoli, owner of Mobitex, ran Interplastica. Pakoli, who was born in Kosovo, supports militant Muslim groups, and he finances the ultranationalist newspaper Bota Sot, based in Zurich, which has been condemned by the head of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe mission to Kosovo for sowing hate, intolerance, and strife. Through the Fund for Reconstruction of Kosovo in Lugano, he finances the Kosovo Liberation Army, or UCK, known in the West as the KLA. Skipping down. Attempts to reach Pakoli yielded an email response that Mr. Begijet Pakoli worked for Interplastica till 1990, and there is absolutely no relation with what you mentioned in your email, unquote. Skipping down still further. On Wednesday, November 6th, the U.S. announced that it was adding to its blacklist of banks and individuals connected to the Bin Laden network, the Al-Taqwa Bank, with operations in Switzerland, Italy, Liechtenstein, and the Bahamas, and its chief executive, Youssef Nada, and board members Mohamed Mansour and Albert Huber are on the list of individuals being investigated. Mohamed Mansour is on the board of the Bosnian Institute in Zurich. So is Pakoli. He's the head of Interplastica, the Soviet biowarfare firm. Pierfelici Barchi, Nada's lawyer, and Claudio Generali, president of the Banco del Gattardo, served together on the boards of a capital management foundation in Liechtenstein and several enterprises in Switzerland. They are both leaders of the Liberal Radical Party, which rules in Switzerland and Tessin, and which, till now, has afforded the bank political protection from intrusive investigation by authorities. So again, Mohamed Mansour on the board of directors of the Bosnian Institute in Zurich, along with Begijet Pakoli, a native of Kosovo. He is also a director of Al-Taqwa. Nada's lawyer, Pierfelici Barchi, and Claudio Generali, president of the Banco del Gattardo, also on interlocking directorates and leaders of the Liberal Radical Party in Switzerland. And that concludes Side B of For the Record program number 356, Mein Jihad, Part 4, The Jihad for Freedom. This was recorded on April 21st of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.